work and to labor to stay there in his presence. And one of the things I say often, as y'all have heard me say many times, I'm in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and I ain't coming out nobody. Don't care who it is. Because you have to work and labor. He that don't work don't eat. So you got to labor and work to be able to grow in God. If you never do work or labor or do any of these things, it's hard to grow in anything. It don't matter what it is. So you have to put forth that effort to grow and to understand what God is calling you to be or chose you to be. And as he said, that we are called, chosen, and faithful. We become faithful. All right, but here this morning, the thing of it is, I want to begin and come up to this part of the scripture. But, you know, God took us and God began to call us by his Spirit when we were in the world. And no doubt, you and I were probably about the same. The Lord had to call me a bunch of times. But when he got my attention, then I began to try to hear. I began to try to listen. I began to try to put forth that effort to find out what God was saying to me. And when I found that part of where God was saying, come unto me, then I began to proceed in that direction. Because I wanted to know God. I told the Lord, I don't want to be like a lot of them now. I said, if you want me to be with you, I want to be everything that's real. I don't want just this, you know, playing this or playing church, whatever. I said, now I want it real. So as I kept praying, God kept moving me forward, and I began to separate myself from certain things, you know, from going out with the boys to different things, and I just kept thinking in my mind, I've got to find my way more toward God in order to be able to serve him and love him and cherish him the way that I'm supposed to. So I kept doing that part of the Spirit, kept drawing me. And I kept coming forth, and as I come forth, then I found the need for repentance. As Peter was preaching to the people, he said, repent and receive you the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is that. It gives us power to use an expression that's going to throw you, but ascend and descend. A lot of people just get to one place and want to stop, but the Holy Ghost that works in us, it's not there to put on some kind of show or anything.
Amen.
But it is there to teach us and lead us and guide us and make us aware of all the things that are around about us every day. So as we therefore submit ourselves more to the repenting and the Holy Ghost, even as David, when you read the Psalms, you'll find it, David repented many times over many things that were done. But he kept repenting, but it did not stop. He kept moving forward. The thing with us today, we have to get our minds set that we're going to keep going higher and higher.
Yes.
We're not going to stop at any level because God has prepared it for us. He has prepared this footstool for us. He prepared all of it to give to his people word that they will be able to live in joy and happiness and peace in him.
Amen.
And God prepared that for each and every one of us. So as time moved on, you found yourself, and I did, found yourself where the scripture says you must be born again. Even after repenting, you say, well, I've got to be born again. What does that mean? So therefore, Jesus bringing it out to Nicodemus how he was to be reborn. And Nicodemus didn't understand because he had a carnal mind. But when Jesus began to explain to him how he was to be born again, then he began to understand that you have to be born of God in the Spirit.
Amen.
Because Jesus kept teaching him along those lines that you have to be born again. You cannot serve God in the flesh. You must serve God in the Spirit. And Nicodemus began to catch a hold of that, and he was one of Jesus' disciples by night.
Yes.
But as that part kept moving on and you kept growing, all of us did, we kept growing and learning things here that God was teaching us and learning things there. And sometimes we'd hear some of our family or loved ones or whatever make a statement, and you ask them, you say, well, where was that in the and they can't find them. But then there's some of them could find some of the things that they were saying. So it's important to know that the word that you receive in your mouth and you chew it up and it goes into your belly is the word of God to feed and strengthen the inner man, not the outer man. You're not trying to lift up the outer man.
Amen.
The outer man has lifted himself up a long time ago and many times in our life. But now we are seeking to lift up that inner man that will lift up God, Jesus Christ, that will lift up the glory of God to people that are around you.
Amen.
And as you lift up that glory, he's giving you a testimony. That testimony that you have around people. And then begin to take and look and to listen at the testimony. But the thing about the tester, the tester has to first die that his testimony will come in effect. You read that in the scripture. Because it's very important, children, self has to go down. You cannot allow yourself to be yourself.
That's right.
Even though sometimes you want to. I heard a lady not long ago tell one, she said, "You keep on and I'm going to tell you a piece of my mind." And I just kind of hung my head. I said, "Well, if you're going to tell her," I didn't tell her this. I didn't want to start no war. I didn't want to get no war. But I was thinking, if you tell her a piece of your mind, boy, you're going to be in a mess here in just a little bit. Because we are to have the mind of Christ.
That's right.
And we are to think back into God's word. In certain circumstances, you run into the same thing this day and time. You run into it and you begin to think about it. Say, "I remember reading that in the scriptures. And let's see, you're thinking about it and what happened during that time." And you begin to analyze it and think about it. And God begins to show you. And you begin to think, you either say, "Well, I believe I'll stay here and kind of enjoy this," or "I got to get out of here and go." It's going to be one of the two. But anyway, as we found that part of being born again, we're in the world but not of the world. We begin to learn what it means to have repented. Repented means that you turn from it and you do not do it again.
Right.
You say, "Well, what if I slip up and do it?" We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And we therefore pray with our petition before him. "God, please be merciful to me and forgive me of my sin." And God is faithful and just to forgive you of that sin. But let me tell you the joy you're going to be looking forward to is when that sin is overcome.
Yes.
You have overcome that sin.
Yes.
And that sin comes back and tries to get you to do something again, being tempted by the devil. And he's always there tempted. But then as you're tempted, you think about it. "Now, I'm not going to do that this time." And you walk away from it. And every time you walk away, you become stronger to the devil. Has got to figure out something else to try to tempt you with. And let me tell you, he's had many years of experience. When we say, "Oh, I'm here, I'm there, I'm that, I'm here," you better watch him. Because he's had a lot of experience. And he weighs words too, just like we do. But anyway, as we're tempted and tried, it begins to bring us into a stronger and a better Christian every day. Because we are seeking for the high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
We are seeking to become the full stature of the measure of Christ. We are not seeking to stop or to quit, but we are seeking to become the best that we can be in God, our Savior. So then as we have worked and labored and we went through the part of God calling us and began to draw us in and then God taking and teaching like he did to Nicodemus about the spirit and the flesh, and then we began to learn about the spirit and the flesh. And then as we do that, we start here in Galatians chapter 4 and listen how these scriptures come out to us telling us. See, we're going at it, what, step by step. We're growing step by step. Some of you say, "Well, I don't seem like I'm growing or moving very much." Let me tell you, yeah, I see it, or you see it or not. I see it and I hear it. And I praise and I thank God for it. It's says in Galatians 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. As long as he is a child, different nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, though you be a son of God, and God has gave unto you your calling, he has gave unto you a lot of things. Then therefore, but you are still as a servant, going to and about at the Father's bidding. But is under tutors and governors, tutors, those that will help you go in the scriptures and teach you how to search the scriptures, how to search out these things, how that you can find the truth of whatever subject it is that God has put in your heart and your mind. Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. The world had power over us. We were born and shaken in iniquity. But we kept growing, we kept walking, we kept overcoming. Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, to bring us forth, to realize that there is two parts of the law, the natural part and the spiritual part.
Amen.
And let's look at this just a moment so we can understand when we move on. But you have in the scriptures where it brings out to us as an example. This is just an example. But like the first commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, you know, most people will take that because they've got a natural mind and they become judges and they say, well, I took the place of God. I'm going to judge people that's doing this, that, and that. That's not what God said. Because if a natural man and woman, they get married, and the reason they get married is to have a family and grow up and proceed forth as their place on earth as God has put them. But also, let's think about something. They're married together. But then think about it. That's the natural part. The scripture says that which is first is natural, then that which is spiritual.
Amen.
But the spiritual part also comes because we are married to God the Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, because we become one by His Spirit. So therefore, if we begin to go out and begin to participate and commit fornication with other gospels, other doctrines, other teachings that are not the teachings of God the Father, then we have committed spiritual fornication.
Amen.
We have turned against our husband because it is written in the scripture, I, the Lord thy God, am thy husband. So by being married to God, we make promises. We make vows. We make commitments to always love him and cherish him and walk with him and talk with him and be with him. Why? Because he is your eternal husband.
Amen.
He's not just a natural husband.
Amen.
He's an eternal husband. And you are married to him through Jesus Christ. So any vows that you make unto God. Because it's very important you have seen that one commandment. As Lord permits, maybe we'll have some others in time to come. But the thing of it is, brothers and sisters, remember who you married to. When you allow the flesh to work, then therefore it's being manifested that it's flesh. And if you therefore are but to be married to God, you are to be in the image of God and bring forth his image to the people that are around about you because you are honoring your husband. Alright? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That we are going to be adopted sons. That's the reason that we can say, I am of Israel, because I was adopted in, Romans chapter 11. So by being adopted in, to the household of God, we've become part of the family of God. So we are his sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. What does Abba mean? Abraham. Remember that. We are the children of Abraham.
Amen.
Remember Jesus having that discussion with
yes.
all the church leaders. So we are. We become part of. We are that part that helps make up the part of God's family. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. Why? Because we have passed our grades. We have grown up.
Yes.
We are beginning to step higher and higher. And there is no limit. You're the one that puts the limit on
That's right.
how high you want to go with God. You are the individual. It's not your mama, your daddy, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, nobody else. It's you. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If you want to surpass Brother Paul, you can. If you got that strength and that determination and that faith in you, that I believe I can do this, I believe I can do that. Well, God is showing me this, God is showing me that, and I know I can do it. That faith will bring forth works.
Amen.
Wherefore thou art no more a servant but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Your heir means you have an inheritance with God.
Yes.
Because you are to work and labor. And as God took our fathers in the wilderness and divided, God used Joshua to divide up the land and give them their share, God will also do the same for you this day and time. It depends on you. Alright? Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them, which by nature are no gods. We were out there serving people that were nothing. But now after that you have known God, or known of God, how turn you again to the weak and the beggarly elements, where you desire again to be in bondage, in captivity, and slavery? Man telling you when to stand up, when to sit down, what to do, when to do it, when to, and when not to. You observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. You got to be committed. Brother, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. It's telling them to return to their first love. Have you read that before? Return to thy first love. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despise not, nor reject, nor receive me as an angel. You receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus, because they were looking at words that were coming out of his mouth. And understanding is one of the main things. With all thy getting, get understanding. Where is then the blessedness that you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. You would have took all of the things that God was showing you and you would have given them to me. And have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You see how he put that? He was letting them know that even then there was things that was trying to penetrate the church. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, you that despise to be under, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, and he of the free woman was by the promise. Now, I want you to know and understand, this gives you a lot of understanding here, that when you go out into the world and people are walking in the flesh, they are going to buffet you. They're going to try to give you, so to speak, a hard time. But the thing of it is, you stay grounded and rooted in what God has taught you in His Word.
Amen.
And you shall have power over them. Because Jesus brought it out very plain when He said that about being in Him and us being in the Father. I'm going to turn back just a second to Him, to John. I want to read a scripture that's going to give you that understanding that you need. It is one more. 17. These words, this is, I'm sorry, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son. God's going to do the same thing for you if you continue in his word as he has asked. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He gave what? You power over all flesh, all those walking in the flesh, talking in the flesh, all those that wants to be start problems or situations. God has gave you power in Jesus Christ over that. You read that for yourself and see if it ain't telling you the same thing. So if it's in him and you're in him, it's in you also. The only thing you have to do is learn how to use it by the Spirit. You do not use it just any way that you choose. But God has to give it to you. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So each time God puts his Spirit upon you to fight a battle, then the battle was already won. All right? Which things are an allegory? Well, these are, I'm back in on Galatians, I'm sorry, back 4:24. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage, which is Hagar, which is the law. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free. That's her mother, man.
Amen.
Which is the mother of us all. Just said that, didn't he? For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bears not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now, we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. You see why you have confrontation. All right? Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heirs with the son of the free
man. Amen.
So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free, the New Jerusalem. That is where God is bringing us to. That's the reason he keeps saying the word new, 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 new. We go into the new.
Right.
Now, I want to read one more thing. How many times was Abraham married? And then I'll say that. Somebody tell me. Do y'all remember?
What did you say again, brother?
How many times was Abraham married? This is very important because it was what we were just talking about. But listen to this. And I am going to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. But a lot of people will tell you that Abraham was only married one time. And in God, that's true. But he also received another wife after Sarah was passed.
Yes. Well, we're talking about his marriage to God also.
Abraham, they desire all of the primary marriage is to God. But we also have wives in the natural. So you sit down and you devise out which one is being taught and which one is being listened. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimram, and Jushim, and Medan, and Media, and Ishbak, and Susa. And Jushim begat Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Ashlam and all them names right there. But now listen to what Abraham did. We're going to read in verse 5. Alright? And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. He did not give, listen, but unto the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had. Abraham gave gifts. You see what he gave them? He gave them gifts. And sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. So he gave Keturah and his children gifts. You can read about the gifts in the scripture. But Abraham gave everything else to Isaac because Isaac was the promised seed. Okay, so that's what we're reading a little bit about here, about Hagar and the bond woman and the free woman. So I give y'all something to put some more questions up there. And when you read and pray and seek it out, it's going to bust some new wrinkles on you. Well, God bless y'all and I love you. Thank God for it. If you ever have any questions, please let me know.